Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, appreciate you guys tuning in. We got Russell Baxter, pro football guru, hopping on the Sliwa show. Russell, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing good. Doing good. Everybody is at the comfort of their own home now, doing these shows. How about you? Are you got kind of a setup at home just under these circumstances? I think that's what we all got to do now.
Well, I'm a freelancer at the moment, so I'm kind of been in that mode for a while, and fortunately, I embraced modern technology, and it's fascinating to see how everybody's able to communicate. I've done several shows on different platforms. And everybody's kind of in the same boat. So we're learning to adjust. I mean, be honest with you, think about this. Think about if something like this had happened 10 or 15 years ago, maybe where our industry would be right now.
110%. I mean, I think it's been interesting with ESPN. A lot of our, big national shows, they're doing these shows from home, and everybody's just kind of potting in, obviously. For us too, we stay in local. So, we start at 6 a.m. and go all the way till 9 o'clock. All the shows are local, and we're able to do it from home. So to answer your question, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I think it'd just be a lot of national programming. So I love that that we're in this position. But I obviously wanted to bring you on. A lot of great football stuff going on over the last week and a half or so. And before I went to break in that last segment, I was talking about Cam Newton. I want to get your thoughts, just your opinion on this. Cam Newton, obviously no longer a part of the Carolina Panthers. What do you think happens with Cam Newton? And I know there's concerns about some injuries that he's had, and specifically his foot. But just what do you think happens to Cam, and what do you think about the fit with the Los Angeles Chargers, a franchise here in Los Angeles that, in my opinion, just doesn't have that much allure right now, doesn't have much of a fan base? Your thoughts on both of those?
Well, it's funny you brought that up. I did a piece for FanSided yesterday talking about the five places that he could wind up. And the first two, I actually had him in backup roles with the Bills because of the Sean McDermott connection, and the Rams, who, don't really have a backup, and Jared Goff's kind of coming off a iffy year and a half. He kind of struggled down the stretch, even in the Super Bowl year, and last year had a boatload of turnovers. And then, I had Jacksonville 3, New England 2, and the Chargers 1. And, I look at the people that the Chargers have, which obviously here's a team that's undergone a tremendous transformation. No more Phillip Rivers, no more Melvin Gordon. But I drew the comparison of, and indulging for a second, could Keenan Allen be his Cam's West Coast Steve Smith? Could Hunter Henry be Greg Olson? Could Austin Eckler be Christian McCaffrey? The more concern with Cam is the health. And it's not just the foot injury that he suffered last summer, but of course the year before that, he had
shoulder. Yeah.
The shoulder in the Thursday night at Pittsburgh. And he played through it, and I don't think anybody really knew how much it affected him until the end of the year. So he went through that whole offseason of surgery, and then he gets in the preseason, and he winds up injuring the foot. He lasted two games, and, so I think it's a matter of him just being healthy more than anything else. But also, how free agency is, and how this league is. There's not usually a lot of quarterback openings from year to year, because you usually get your quarterback in the draft and you lock him up, especially if it's a first round pick, 4 years, and then the fifth year option if things are going well. So there's not a lot of places for him to necessarily go. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Russ, you think he's still, you think he could still be a starter? I mean, when you mentioned that role with the Rams, obviously would be a backup position, but you think he could still be a starter?
Oh, absolutely. When I put the piece together, understand that, finding five teams where he could be the starter was a little tough. So, again, McDermott and Brandon Bean in Buffalo, and in case you haven't noticed, they've signed Josh Norman, they've signed A.J. Klein, they've signed Mario Addison, they've signed Vernon Butler. You know, the Carolina Panthers are now residing in Orchard Park, New York. And, you know, my point is, if Cam can't find a starting job, would he go someplace where people are familiar with him? I mean, we see it all the time in free agency. Same thing with the Rams. It would be fascinating to watch him. Again, if he can't starting, and that's the big hook there, if he can't find a starting job, could he go someplace and maybe learn from Sean McVay and back up Jared Goff and, you know, be there in a pinch? Listen, I cite in last year when we had a trade in the league where it was almost like an afterthought. Ryan Tannehill going to the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. And he was a former starter, and suddenly he's a backup. And then suddenly he's in the AFC Championship game.
Hmm. That's as good as an example that you can give. You mentioned a couple times the Rams. I want to stay with them for a quick second. What do you think of the Rams right now? Just their roster, their construction. Of course, the NFL draft is going to be April 23rd through the 25th. We'll see if they move that date or if they don't. But that's going to be big time for the Rams. There's going to be players that they probably draft that need to produce now. What do you think of their position? How do you like where they're sitting? And they're obviously in a division that has some incredible talent in it.
Listen, this was a franchise that struggled for a long time. You know, when they made the playoffs in 2017, it was the first time they had made them since 2004. So, you know, they went more than a decade, you know, of hard times and different coaches and so on. And over the last 2.5 years, or basically 3 years, they've been all in, signing high-priced free agents. Building kind of, you know, remember the whole Vince Young Philadelphia, you know, when he was with the Eagles and the Dream Team? In a way, the Rams were kind of constructed a dream team. But in this salary cap era, if you pay a little much and you certainly give up draft picks, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble. So, you know, I think they're kind of at a crossroads right now. You look at the people who they've let go and also the people who have left on their own. And that's a pretty tough division to be kind of treading water in when you got two teams like the Seahawks and the 49ers that were in the playoffs last year.
It is, I think, going to be one of those, maybe the biggest benefit that they'll have is you're adding an extra playoff team. That starts this season, correct, under the new CBA, adding the seventh playoff team?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, the NFC, it's funny, the AFC keeps winning the Super Bowls, but when you look at the NFC, they seem like the more stacked conference. And you think of some of the teams, you know, that didn't finish at 500 last year, but played good football down the stretch. Atlanta got off to that horrible start. They were 1-7, and then they won 6 of their last 8 games. They beat the Saints in New Orleans. They beat the 49ers in San Francisco. They just added Todd Gurley and Hayden Hurst and Dante Fowler. I mean, they've been screaming for a pass rush since Dan Quinn got there. You know, so in the NFC, you know, I think climbing up is a little tougher. I mean, the NFC East is certainly a struggle, but you look at the North and you look at the South and you look at that. I mean, how does Tampa Bay fare with Tom Brady and some of the other chains? They just brought back Ndamukong Suh. So, you know, to me, the Rams played, you know, remember, they were 3-0 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And kind of pieced their way through 3-0. You know, but late in the year, I mean, they laid some, I don't even want to say laid eggs, omelets, okay, frittatas, against the Cowboys, against the Ravens on Monday night.
I mean, when they needed that big time win, they couldn't get it. And they were in some tough games. That game against Seattle on the road, they had an opportunity to win that. But that defining moment, they couldn't get any of those.
They were a real tease late in the year. They remember on a Sunday night, they hosted the Seahawks and blasted them. Okay, they had the 49ers on the ropes late in the year in San Francisco and let that one slip away. And again, they got blown out by Dallas and they got blown out. You're absolutely right. When they had a chance to kind of right their wrongs, they weren't able to come up with the big win.
Russ, I want to kind of switch gears for a quick second here. What do you think happens with, there's a lot of conversation about the NFL draft and potentially moving that date. Do you think that happens? So from what I understand, the league has a general manager subcommittee, and a lot of these general managers, they want to see that date pushed. Do you think that happens, or you think it stays firm? And why are some of these owners, at least some of the powerful owners, so committed on staying with that date?
I'm not sure about that. You know, I think it's obvious. I mean, and I know there have been reports, but nothing official from the league. But, this draft is going to be held basically probably by teleconference.
Yeah.
And still on television. Now, you see, I'm old enough to remember when the draft was not even on TV. You know, I spent a lot of years working at ESPN working on the draft, during the 90s. And you know, basically, I worked, I think, about like 20 NFL drafts. And I can tell you just how it evolved in that process. You know, but from 1936 to 1979, you know, there was no draft on TV. There, you know, you had limited participation. It was at a, you know, for years it was at the Marriott Marquis in New York, and maybe you got a couple hundred fans. And then, of course, it morphed into what it's become, where it's now on basically three networks, you know, ABC and ESPN and the NFL Network and so on. I can understand why the general managers want to push back dates, because they haven't been able to do their usual work.
Right. They're saying that the facilities are currently closed.
Right.
You know, they got no access to these draft rooms, not enough time for player physicals. I mean, there's legit reasons.
The draft process has evolved over the years. I mean, fortunately they were able to get the combine in. So that was certainly helped, and they're going to have to rely on their tape. From the football season, obviously, but some of the little subtleties, late in the draft process, and you know how those interviews go. Sometimes those personal interviews can sway what a general manager is thinking about a young man, and you're not really able to kind of do those in person. Okay, so I could see it being pushback, but then again, I could also see where they kind of, the NFL. It's kind of stuck to its guns in terms of a timetable. Okay. Mm-hmm. Free agency went off just like when they said it was going to go off.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
there were people who were concerned with that. So in terms of stuff like that, that they can control. And I'm sure they're also talking to the television networks about what their commitments are at later dates as well. So we got 29 days to go. It's 4 weeks from tomorrow, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of fascinating because, look, the entire world is obviously adjusting to this new norm. It will never be normal, but you know what I'm referring to. The NBA season stops. Tomorrow is supposed to be opening day for the Giants and the Dodgers. You know, so every sport, right. The Olympics just got moved to 2021. So it's like, everything has froze. The world has kind of froze. And when it's come to sports, it's froze. I found that article I find that topic just interesting, because it seems like everybody has kind of moved. And if you have general managers that are voicing some concerns, legitimate concerns, you know, this isn't somebody just writing on a scratch sheet of paper and saying, right. Yep, let's go with that guy from Clemson or that guy from Boston College. I feel like there's so much that goes into it, and these GMs, you know, will be at a disadvantage in this draft. And it just sounds like the smart move would be kick that can down the road a little bit.
I agree with you. Okay. Everybody's had to adjust during a very trying time. Okay. So far, the NFL really hasn't had to that much other than closing facilities. Again, I think it's something they would have to talk about with the networks, because obviously the networks make a big commitment to them. Then again, it's up to the league. It's not up to the television network, because they could conduct, just like they do the supplemental draft in July, they conduct that without any fanfare whatsoever. Okay. Mm. Conference call, email, you know, however you want to do it and so on. So this obviously would be a bigger undertaking. But I wouldn't rule out the fact, I agree with you, because everyone has been kind of thrown into a state, unprecedented state here, in terms of even real life. I could see them pushing it back a month. I don't think that would be out of the realm of realistic at all.
Russ, final question. Who has the better record this upcoming season, Belichick and the Patriots or Tom Brady and the Buccaneers?
Oh, boy. I'm not usually much for predictions. I didn't know Tom Brady was a recording artist. Does he have a record?
He does. He does have a record.
You know, that's a tough call because I look at, you know, people forget about the Bucs sometimes. Mm-hmm. Behind the Browns, they have the second longest active playoff drought in the league. They haven't won in the playoffs in 2007. The last time the Bucs were in the playoffs, Tom Brady was going undefeated in New England.
Unbelievable.
So I think it's a tough call. I mean, we haven't even gotten to the draft and so on. And I will say this, you know, New England's been to the playoffs 11 years in a row, which is an NFL record. They haven't had a losing season since 2000. I wouldn't hedge my bets that they keep those streaks alive necessarily.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I think that's a safe bet to have there. Russell, appreciate you coming on. I know it's the first time we've had you on the show, but fantastic football insight. And let's definitely do this again. We'll find the right time to do it, and we'll make it happen. So I appreciate you hopping on the show.
Hey, I'm going to be up for a while. You can call me back in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Russell. I appreciate it, man. That's Russell Baxter from Pro Football Guru hopping on the Sliwa Show. I want to stick, actually, let's stay on that same topic. Adam Schefter basically had a similar, I think he'll explain this NBA draft or this NFL draft and everything going on with this supposed set date, April 23rd, April 25th. Nobody moved that date. You know what? The entire sports world, why don't you guys move your dates? But the NFL, don't accommodate anything to your sport. I want to get into that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Okay, Mario killing it over there, making it happen. Well, the bomber stuff, I'll get into that. I already did some bomber. But the fact that the Clippers own Inglewood, I mean, or the Clippers own the Forum, that's a whole different conversation. Appreciate Russell Baxter. First time I've talked or had a conversation with Russell. He's with Pro Football Guru. But, you know, something does kind of just stand out to me, and I've said this on a couple different occasions. Here we are. All these sports are adjusting. All these sports. I mean, I could go down the list. NBA, of course, adjusted. MLB baseball. You know what tomorrow's supposed to be? Tomorrow's supposed to be the Dodgers versus the Giants. Opening day. Kershaw's supposed to be on the mound. Dodgers are supposed to be starting their run to a World Series with Mookie Betts. there's obviously a lot of things that have been pushed forward. For the love of you-know-who, the Olympics got moved a year down the road. And then there's the conversation about the NFL draft. Just the draft. We're not talking about, you know, this big-time sporting event. I'm not saying it's not big. I know the draft is big. I'm not saying they don't make a lot of money. All these leagues make money. All these leagues are making very, very tough business decisions. Adam Schefter was on the Get Up, and he tried explaining a little bit what's going on with this NFL draft, why some GMs are saying, why are we still set on this date? And while some of the powerful owners out there want it to be this date, here's Adam Schefter.
Right now, the NFL seems intent upon having the draft in April exactly on the dates it is scheduled to have them, just not in Las Vegas. The general managers are not happy because essentially as of today, Roger Goodell has ordered that all team facilities shut down until at least April 8th. So where are they going to be conducting the draft? Some teams, like the teams in California, like the teams in New Jersey, Philadelphia, maybe they're not even allowed inside their building by the time the draft rolls around, whereas other teams might be allowed. So that would be an advantage for those teams. I had one team suggest to me yesterday that we could wind up renting a hotel room, a conference room in a hotel, so that we could have our war room there because we're not allowed in our facilities. There's lots of unknowns here about how this is going to work. The one thing we can say is the GMs don't want to have the draft when it is. They want it pushed back. The NFL wants the draft on the dates it has it and hasn't discussed moving it back at this point in time.
This is just a great idea by the NFL. You know, let's just take the entire world who has paused and had to kick the can down the road and people broadcasting from their homes, people, you know, obviously working from home. Unfortunately, people losing their jobs or getting laid off. You have all these different scenarios that are playing out and you have everybody trying to adjust to what has unfortunately just become the new norm for now, but not the NFL. No, 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 no. The NFL, even though the facilities are currently closed for every NFL team, even though there's no access to draft rooms, even though there's not enough time for player physicals, the geniuses of the NFL want to keep that NFL draft date from April 23rd to April 25th. It makes no sense to me. You know what I try to – sometimes I try to compare when there's commissioners out there. Obviously, Roger Goodell, the commissioner for the NFL. When I kind of think of just some of these different commissioners in sports, Rob Manfred is one that, you know, comes up for baseball. I always try and compare, or I try to ask the question, what would Adam Silver do in this situation or in this predicament if it came up for the NBA? And that's the best example that I could give, because I feel like Adam Silver, and I think a lot of people would agree with this, he's the best commissioner right now, at least in these, you know, major sports going on in the States. I don't know anything about, you know, other commissioners or other leaders in other sports overseas, whatever the case is, but he's the best in the business right now. Do you think Adam Silver would be shoving the NFL draft or the NBA draft, in this case, using NBA as an example, down the throat of all these owners and all these general managers and saying, listen, I know that some teams might have a competitive advantage. I know it's disorganized. I know you can't get even player physicals, the guys that you're going to actually end up drafting. I know there's a lot of hurdles to this whole thing. Do you think Adam Silver would be forcing it down everybody's throat and saying, well, you're going to do it anyways? I don't think that would be the case. I really, really genuinely don't feel like that would be the case. And this NFL just kind of demanding that this is going to be the date, I'll tell you, I'm going to give you guys my prediction. Here's my prediction. My prediction is the pressure will continue to mount like it has for every sport and event that's been postponed or that's been pushed back or whatever the case is. That's going to continue to happen. That's going to continue to happen around the NFL. And then eventually this NFL draft is going to get pushed down the road. That's, by the way, what ended up happening with the NCAA. It ended up happening with the Olympics. It ended up happening with UFC. The pressure mounted enough to where they said, okay, we'll push the date back. But it's reactive. It's not proactive. It's common sense, but we know that common sense isn't exactly always the most common thing to do. It's an interesting scenario. I know it's just the NFL draft, but it's mind-boggling to me that GMs are coming out and saying, no, you got to move this, and they still don't move it. That's where we're at right now with the NFL. Halftime coming up next. Jesse will hop in. Curtis will hop in. I went for a jog today. I got to talk a little bit about this jog. Haven't gone for a jog in a long time. Actually went running. Like, both my feet were moving for a long period of time. Talk about that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
All right, we are at halftime. This is halftime of the show. Still Michael Thompson coming up in a little bit. Got to welcome in Jesse. Got to welcome Curtis. Got a lot of guys working in the background here. What's going on, fellas? How you guys doing?
I'm doing good, Alan. I can tell by, you know, how the way the show's going. You're doing fantastic. A lot of, you know, who would have thought we'd had this much to talk about when the sports world isn't really going?
Okay, not going to lie. I feel the same way. Like, I feel like every
keep playing
time
that
I start,
music, Curtis.
Every time I start kind of putting together, and, you know, I know we throw ideas, whatever the case is, but, like, I feel like every day there's been some different topics to get to. I loved Keyshawn this morning. I'm like, Key, I don't think that's a Laker fan's thing. That was my opinion. I don't know if you guys got a take on that one, but if you're a Laker fan, I just got a feeling that you're not rooting for the Clippers.
I have a really, I don't want to say weird, because before I worked doing Laker games right there, you know, for ESPN. I used to do the same exact thing for the Clippers. Mm-hmm. So I have a little, like, you know, love-hate relationship with the Clippers. I kind of love to hate them at the moment right now, but I definitely, you know, knowing a couple people over there, I definitely have, like, you know, there's something in me that's like, all right, come on, just whenever they're not playing the Lakers, I'm like, all
right. No, listen, and by the way, that's okay. I think for me, you know, Jess, that it's pretty much like through and through a Laker fan. Like, I grew up a Laker fan, and all of a sudden the Clippers got a shot to beat the Lakers. That's legitimate, right? They're that
good. And we've never had that.
Exactly. So, like, even more so now than ever before. And there's just ties, like the Doc Rivers part, the Kawhi and Paul George picking the Clippers. Like, there's also other storylines that come into play. And then here's Ballmer going to buy Inglewood for $400 million in cash.
Straight cash, homie.
Like, what is he doing? Is he just walk up to the bank and he's just counting out fives? What is he doing?
Nah, he's counting out them 50s and them 100s. And he's just throwing them in.
No, you know what he's doing? You know what he's doing? He's saying, here's my account number. Go grab $400 million, and I won't even know that you grabbed it. That's how ridiculous his bank account is.
Oh, definitely.
How sweaty do you think the money is, though?
Probably very sweaty.
Probably really damp money.
But you know what? It still counts, Curtis. You know, sweaty money or not.
I'll take sweaty $400 million any day. So underneath you hear Instrumental for Dre Day by Dr. Dre.
Yes,
and there's
sir.
A reason for that.
Okay.
It was announced today by the National Recording Registry that Dr. Dre, the Chronic album, will be archived by the Library of Congress because it is considered worthy of preservation due to the importance of a cultural, historical, or anesthetic nature. So in celebration of that, I mixed together this three instrumentals of that album, Dre Day.
Fantastic.
And in a little bit, you'll hear Nothing But a G Thing, and then Let Me Ride. And then just to mention other albums to be archived, Selena's Ven Conmigo, Tina Turner's Private Dancer, Cheap Trick at Budokan, as well as songs YMCA by the Village People and I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
So. Yeah, I listen to I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston every night. Curtis sent me the link 2 months ago, and 60 days straight, that's all I've listened to.
All right, so you're just shy of that 3,000 mark then.
Yeah, exactly. That dude yesterday goes to Disneyland. Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Nearly 3,000 days. All right, so celebration of Dr. Dre, congrats. Keep doing things, and we'll move on. So over the weekend, Cowboys All-Pro Center Travis Frederick announced on Twitter that he's going to retire at the age of 29. In the statement that he posted on Twitter, he also revealed that he developed Guillain-Barré syndrome. I have no idea if I'm saying that right, but it's a rare disorder in which your body's immune system attacks your nerves. And weakness and tingling in our extremities are usually the first symptoms. And the sensations can quickly spread and eventually paralyzing your whole body. And he's been battling this for the last 2 years.
Wow.
And yeah, so, you know, props to him for deciding to take the high ground and say, like, you know what, I'm going to take care of my health first. But in just this past year, along with Frederick, Rob Gronkowski, Andrew Luck, and Luke Kuechly all retired, all before the age of 30. And even before that, we had Calvin Johnson, who retired around 30. Patrick Willis of the 49ers retired around the same age. It seems like there's an uncurring theme here for NFL players that, you know, it looks like they're starting to take in consideration their health and put that first. Do you think this is going to become the new norm for the NFL, retiring early? And if it is, do you think that NCAA should make changes to the eligibility so top prospects can kind of go earlier to the NFL, especially if they're going to be retiring earlier?
I think it's going to take, you know, a number of big-time players. And don't get me wrong, Andrew Luck is as big as it gets, right? That's a big-time player for the NFL. But the NFL has always been – it's always been about the league before it's about the player. Like the Shield, when they talk about how powerful the Shield is, it is powerful. You know, we're watching NFL games, whether Andrew Luck retires or he doesn't retire. I prefer that, you know, obviously he still played, but I respect players out there that decide for their health, for their family, for their future, this isn't worth it. They're not going to do it strictly based upon just the dollar figure or whatever the case is. I know Andrew Luck, I think financially he was good to go, so he didn't have to worry about it. Unless it becomes a bigger thing, I don't think the league's going to do anything about it. And I think what the league's got to focus on is continue to try and find ways where the league is safer. You know, I mean, that's been the biggest issue. The biggest issue is you got NFL players that don't feel safe playing NFL football. Do you blame them? I don't blame them. And no. until that continues to become, you know, kind of the top priority, the main priority, and I'm not saying just run your mouth like, yeah, that's our top priority. I don't believe it is. But until you kind of get, like, you know, enough results out there to say, okay, the sport is as safe as we can make it, I don't think the league will care and do anything about it.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I think if, especially if this just becomes the norm. So I agree. It's going to take big names for it to actually happen. But if more players, a lot of them.
Yep.
But if you see just even, you know, even middle of the tier players and a lot of them retire all at once,
it
could definitely have an effect. And just, you know, you can kind of make a comparison to the CBA because a lot of the top players didn't want to vote for it because they didn't need the extra game, while the majority of the NFL is like, well, that's an extra $100K in my pocket, that extra game. And I'm willing to take that because that's going to provide for my family later. So there's a lot of, you know, layers to this, but it's definitely something that the NFL, I think, should at least have in their back pocket to discuss.
Jess, the most important question is, do you have a game for me and Curtis at some point? Because I'm down 1-0. He beat me yesterday. By the way, you only asked 2 questions. How do I only get 2 questions? I could have came back and tied it.
Well, I had 3.
It was already over, that's why.
And it was already over because Curtis had gotten the second one, too. So either way, you lost.
I did, too. So I was down 2-1. One more question coming. Or no.
You know what? I will.
I think I was down 2.
You'll have your one question tomorrow. How about that? Because I did not have the game for today.
And then tomorrow, let's the theme music, let's use the Whitney Houston.
Oh, I got you.
How fast
we're not going to do the instrumental. We're going to have just the whole song, and I'm going to loop it for 10, 15 minutes. That's what we're going to do.
That's perfect. All right. It won't get old, bro. Just be one with Whitney Houston, man. Show some respect. All right, let's keep going.
We all know Curtis is in the background just mouthing.
Now he's got another headphone on for that.
All right, so moving on. Yesterday was the 15-year anniversary of the premiere of The Office. Ooh. So March 24th, 2005 was the first time NBC's The Office, which is the American version of Ricky Gervais' Office, appeared on TV. And we all thank everyone involved for it because it was such an amazing show. However, yesterday was also the debut of Andy Green's book, The Office, the untold story of the greatest sitcom of the 2000s. And out of that came probably the biggest piece of news. Green spoke to 2 people, boom operator and sound mixer Brian Whittle and hairstylist Kim Ferry, who revealed that Steve Carell, the office manager, Michael Scott, never wanted to leave and actually was willing to return. It was a big thing when he left because everyone kind of thought, well, it was like this was Carell's next path in his career because he became a star like right after.
But pushed out?
No, he didn't get pushed out. This is what goes. I'm about to read what Kim Ferry said in the book. This is what hairstylist Kim Ferry told Andy Green. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to leave the show. He had told the network that he was going to sign for another couple of years, and he was willing to, and his agent was willing to. That's the first part. And she continues. And the deadline came, and for when they were supposed to give him an offer and it passed, they didn't make him an offer. So his agent was like, well, I guess they don't want to renew you for some reason, which was insane to me and to him.
Of course, he's the show.
So NBC never made him an offer. And the boom operator, Brian Whittle, said that Carell went on radio and said after the 7th season, or towards the 7th season, the beginning of it, that this might be my last year, in hoping that someone from NBC will be like, oh, well, you don't want, you know, no, stay with us. We don't want you to leave. But that never happened. So NBC messed up the last couple seasons of The Office just because they never even made an offer.
But I'll tell you something. I mean, that doesn't just happen. Like, if you want the guy, you go get him, right? I mean, there's, especially in that position, I mean, The Office is arguably one of the most successful shows ever, right? And I don't know where they rank or whatever the case is, but I'm saying, you know, it's that popular of a show. anytime a rerun's on, there's probably a lot of people that, you know, rewatch it or whatever the
and
case
just
is.
Just the character of Michael Scott is the most gold. Like cringe worthy, but you
gold.
Can't look away. You can't look away. And it was
so
funny
if,
today
if
on
you don't
Twitter.
Make an offer, oh. If you don't make an offer, it's as simple as this, yes. There was something in the background. Like, if you wanted him to be on that show, you're making an offer. And maybe it was one of those things where it's like they'd done it for so long. It was like, okay, well, if we do it again, great. But if we don't, eh. You know,
well,
we
it
accomplished
was,
everything we're supposed to accomplish.
Yeah, it was kind of mentioned that it might have been – it was around the time where the CEOs were kind of changing. There was a big names kind of changing management, and the new person that came in didn't really like The Office, so – he didn't really
go.
Mind career leaving. So there was some of that. And then if you look on Twitter, there's a, I saw it today, a picture of Steve Carell now not looking nothing like Michael Scott, at least not how Michael Scott I remember. And he's holding his mug that usually says world's greatest boss. But this time it says Toby spread COVID-19.
Jesus.
Always Toby.
Oh, that's good.
All right. I got one more for you, Alan.
Okay.
Bleacher Report over last week actually had a survey for the best player in the world right now. They actually had a bracket. And out of 300,000 votes, they had LeBron James, Lionel Messi, Joe Burrow, Steph Curry, Mike Trout, and Rolando. Cristiano Rolando.
Cristiano Ronaldo, as, yep.
Yes. And out of them, it went down to LeBron versus Messi in the final round.
Mm.
And the winner, who do you think the winner of that? This person took nearly 60% of the votes. So 60-40.
I'm going to say just because, you know, soccer. And listen, I know here in Los Angeles, by the way, I think actually soccer is big in LA too. But in the United States, of course, there's all these other sports. But the bottom line is soccer is the biggest sport in the world. That's just how it goes, you know, whether you like it or you don't. It is. So I'm going to go with Messi took the 60%.
You know what? For those same reasons, everything you just said is correct.
Mm-hmm.
I would have 100% said the same thing. However,
was it Bron?
The people don't think the same way. LeBron,
wow.
60%. Best player in the world, according to over 300,000 votes.
That's actually
so,
a little bit of a surprise. That's a surprise. I and it's not
I
that
wanna,
you know he's
yep.
not worthy of it. It just I thought just because it was soccer. I mean, listen, the
for the reasons
brand,
you said yes, everything for that same reasons. I 100% would have thought you know oh when I first saw it before, you know like just as the final two, it's LeBron versus Messi. I was like, oh, Messi's gonna take it because mm-hmm. you know LeBron rarely ever gets the full credit he actually deserves, and it's soccer. It's Messi, but no, LeBron. 60-40%. So how about
wow.
that?
Wow, that's a shock. That's a great stat there too. I would have never thought that, but that's fantastic for LeBron. Look at the King still making it happen.
Yep.
I can kind of see that though, only because like LeBron is still at his peak level, and Messi. I mean, he's still the best in the world, but he's also been kind of on a decline the last couple years.
How old is Messi? You guys know off the top of your head or no?
Messi 30
something,
is,
I think.
Ah, I searched Messi on Google and it came up with Messi protocol. Maybe that's actually right. Lionel Messi. Here we go. He is 32.
32? Okay.
32
all right.
Years
so
old.
They're
turning 33 in June.
They're both obviously towards the end of their careers. But all right, fantastic stuff. All right, here's what we got to do. Jess, appreciate you putting all that stuff together.
Yes, sir.
Don't forget Curtis tomorrow, Whitney Houston. Don't disappoint us.
I'm already working on it.
Michael Thompson is coming up next. I got to get MT's thoughts on a lot of things. MT is fascinating to talk to about money. So the fact that Bomber's paying $400 for the forum, not that that's a lot of money. Of course it's a lot of money, but not that it's a lot to Steve Ballmer. I want to get his thoughts on that. Also talk about what Keyshawn said this morning and then get his thoughts on Cam Newton. We'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. We got Michael Thompson, MT, hopping on the broadcast. MT, how are you doing?
Doing fine. Like I said, I live my normal life. I self distance myself from society when I'm home anyway, when I'm not at Staples. The only reason, only time I leave home, the only reason for me to leave home is to go to the grocery store to pick up supplies or to go to Laker games or a doctor's appointment like most people are doing right now if they have to leave home. So this is not out of the norm for me for having to adjust my lifestyle. This is pretty normal. This is what I, the way I live every day. Just the only difference is that the public health safety is at stake, and that's the only difference.
So it's almost to you as if we're in the off season, I guess, in a sense, right? Like this is this kind of what you do in the off season where, you know, you're obviously sticking around a little bit more at home than you were. You did all the travel, you did all that. Is it a little bit of that?
Exactly that, because, you know, they call it social distancing now, but it used to be called being a homebody, just staying at home. And that's what I've always been since in my early 20s. If I didn't have to go to work or to go pick up food, I loved being at home and just relaxing at home. As long as I have all the necessities you have that I need at home, there's no reason to go out. And it's good. It's always good to go out every now and then for a walk, bike ride, to get something to eat with some friends. But it sounds like something I needed to do every week. Every now and then I would do it. So staying at home as consistently as we've been forced to do doesn't throw me for a loop or get me out of my routine at all.
So, MT, are you going to the grocery store, or are you kind of like, are you not allowed to go to the grocery store? I mean, how does that work? I know you were saying last time that we chatted, the governor of California, I think there's kind of like an age limit where he wants those people to be, you know, staying at home as often as possible. Are you going to the grocery store, or do you stay away?
No, I go to the grocery store routinely. You can go, just keep your distance from people. You wash your hands when you go in. When you come back out, you just Purell or wash your hands. And some of the grocery stores even have like senior hours. Some in that category and that demographic of 65 and over. I can go 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. early and get things done before the general public gets in. So that's all kind of safeguards to keeping yourself safe out there.
Yeah, it is. It's weird times. Let's just put it that way. It's weird times. But there's so many. I mean, believe it or not, I know there's no basketball right now. There's no March Madness. Obviously, the Olympics is getting pushed back. I could go down the list of all the different sports that aren't going on, but I still feel like there's a ton of stories. So I want to hit on a few different things with you. The first thing I want to start off with, what do you think of Steve Ballmer, the Clippers owner, buying out the Forum? How about this, MT? $400 million in cash. Just think about that for a second. That's what he's buying the Forum for. What did you think when you read that story yesterday?
Doesn't surprise me. $400 million to him is $40 to the average American. He's that rich, yeah. And more power to him. I don't begrudge him his riches. You know, he found a product to make that kind of money and found, became successful. So that's the American dream that we all of us strive to be, that rich and be able to afford a $400 million building. When I read that story, it just it sort of made me chuckle, because I remember when Dr. Buss originally bought the Lakers way back in 1979, 1980. I think he paid $33 million for the Forum and as part of the package. And here it is, you know, a few decades later, it's selling for $400 million. And that's a good investment for Steve Ballmer, because he can continue to have concerts there. And it's a beautiful building. Great, beautiful facade on the outside. It's a sort of like a historic landmark for L.A., so I'm glad he's going to keep it and keep it for a concert venue, events and stuff like that. So that's great that it's going to be around for a long time yet to come.
Well, I mean, MT, you think it will be around for a long time? And this is what I'm referring to here. So obviously the main reason why he bought the Forum is so the legal battles that he was having with the Knicks owner, James Dolan, those go away, but eventually he wants to build in Inglewood his own stadium, you know, obviously a state of the art. And like you mentioned, $400 million is nothing to him. So throw a couple billion dollars, whatever it costs, for him to build a brand new stadium next to SoFi Stadium, that, you know, that project that they're doing out there in that Inglewood area. Do you think, I mean, eventually that landmark that you're referring to as the Forum, I mean, does he eventually sell that off, or does he take it and say, you know what, I'm going to build something else here? Because isn't that venue that he's going to eventually build be the place for concerts and everything else?
Oh, yeah, you can do that. Obviously, you'll have that prerogative, that stage concerts in his building. But also, maybe you'll have smaller concerts, smaller, you know, like maybe smaller artists will perform in the Forum. So you got to keep the Forum around. That's, like I said, that'd be like knocking down the Coliseum or Dodger Stadium, so you can't do that.
Well, here's my question then, MT, because, you know, I obviously don't question anything Bomber is doing. The guy obviously knows what he's doing. He's incredibly successful. He bought the Clippers for $2 billion. You know, obviously now Inglewood for $400 to get the Forum. He's going to eventually build his own stadium. You got to give respect where it's due, and the front office that he put together, the team that he's put together. So I always believe it all starts at the top. Here's a question I have about Bomber's vision. I just don't know if there's a fan base there for him. You know what I mean, MT? Like, I'm not saying that the arena won't sell out. I guess it comes down to what price per ticket it's going to sell for. But you and I know this, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the Clippers. L.A. is a Laker town, and it will always be that way, and that's never going to change. I'm just maybe a little surprised that all this money is going towards a franchise that I just don't believe has a big enough, large enough fan base. But then again, he's worth $50 billion. He could do whatever he wants, and he's obviously thinking long term.
Well, he's a smart guy. I'm sure he's got very smart advisors around him, business advisors. And you're right. L.A. will always be a Laker town, just like this will always be a Dodger town or Rams town, no matter which other franchise comes in to compete in that particular sport. But he obviously is making enough money to survive here, probably make a little a profit. Obviously not as much as the Lakers, but he has the ability to move his team or his organization anywhere he wants to, especially in his home city of Seattle, if he really wanted to move up there. But he chooses to stay here. So that means he thinks there's, they've got a market here, even though it's nowhere as big as the Lakers, but he feels he has a niche here in the L.A. market where he wants to stay here. So because he definitely can move up to the Northwest if he wanted to, or at least try to, but he chooses to stay here. So he feels like he can make it work and be successful here.
Maybe, MT, maybe it has a lot more to do with, I guess you look at it this way, right? You buy a house here in Los Angeles, and as much as you love that house, but moving that house to Seattle is not going to help what the value of the house is going to be. So I think he probably looks at it that way. MT, did you hear Keyshawn this morning? Did you hear him? And he went on a little rant, and I understand where he went with it. But did you hear any of the morning show this morning?
No, I didn't. I wasn't up that early. I was up, but I wasn't listening.
All right, this is the perfect thing to ask you. So Keyshawn was basically trying to make an argument, and Keyshawn is – it doesn't get more L.A. than Keyshawn Johnson. So he can obviously talk about somebody who's born and raised in L.A., obviously played for SC, still has his family here in Los Angeles, raising his family here in L.A. But he said that if the Lakers lost and were out of – and he's kind of referring to Laker fans on this one. If the Lakers – were out of the mix for an NBA championship, that he'd be rooting for the Clippers to win a championship, and he thinks Laker fans would be rooting for the Clippers to win a championship because it's L.A. Would you agree with that? I mean, I'm born and raised a Laker fan myself. I know that I wouldn't personally do it. Nobody knows Laker fans better than you do. Do you think there's a lot of Laker fans out there that would root for the Clippers to win a chip if they're out, you know, and the Clippers are playing in the finals simply because it's an L.A. team?
Not a chance. I don't know. Well, yeah. Keyshawn must have been smoking that legal stuff now that they allow in California. That makes no sense at all. There's no way. I can't imagine any one single Laker fan pulling for the Clippers in the finals to beat whoever they're playing against. And whoever that happened, the Lakers had got upset by the Clips. And, I'm pulling from Milwaukee, Toronto. I don't care who they're playing. I'm pulling hard for the Eastern Conference team to win. No Laker fan would ever want to see a Clipper championship banner in L.A. because they would be so arrogant. It would be so insufferable. It would be impossible to live with. Even though it would be their first championship banner, if they were able to get it, they would act like it's their 21st. So no way. I don't know why Keyshawn would even say that, because hopefully all the Lakers call him up and told him how wrong he was.
Well, listen, and it is kind of funny because I brought this up to kind of start the show. And instantly when I heard this in the morning, I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, Key, no, not Laker fans. Like, that's the last thing Laker fans would do. But I understand what he's saying. What he's saying is, at the end of the day, you know, that team is still representing the city. But I think, you know, MT, the difference with that is the Lakers go so much further than just L.A., right? Like, it's a global brand, and it's a brand that I'm born and raised in San Diego. I grew up a Laker fan. I know every time that you guys are out on the road, I love when you tell the story. I always ask you, how many Laker fans are out there? And you're in Memphis or Atlanta or whatever the case is. Laker fans are everywhere, which makes it such a unique brand because it's not just L.A. It's more than just L.A.
Exactly. So, yeah, the Clippers have their little, you know, niche here in L.A., but it's a very small community. But L.A. expands much more than L.A. It goes around the world. It goes around the solar system. So, yeah, even though the Clippers have their 20,000 fans here, but that's as far as it goes. L.A. has 20 million fans around the California area. So it makes no sense that Laker fans would ever pull for the Clippers to you know, succeed them or supersede them with a championship this year. No way.
Okay, so I have one way, and you correct me if I'm wrong on this one. There's only one way I'd root for the Clippers. Do you know what scenario that would be?
I can't imagine.
If the Clippers are in a championship, if the Clippers are in the NBA Finals, there's only one way I would root for them. Can you think of it?
I'm waiting to hear it because I can't imagine what scenario would make me want to root for him unless my son was playing for him.
All right, let's do this. When we come back, I'll tell you. All right, stick around for one more segment. Okay. I got to ask you about Cam Newton. I got to ask you about the Olympics, obviously being postponed a year. So let's do all that coming up next. Stay right here. Michael Thompson hopping on. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. We got Michael Thompson, the color broadcaster for the Los Angeles Lakers, obviously also a big contributor on 710 ESPN. All right, MT, so we were talking about this. No scenario would you ever root for the Clippers, but I think I got one that I would root for the Clippers in the NBA Finals. Can you think of the scenario I'm talking about or no idea at all?
I have no idea. The only way I could ever do that is if Clay was playing for him, but that's not obviously a possibility. So other than that, let me think. Clippers in the finals, you supposed to win if you're a Laker fan? No. Just nope. Unless you said if the Clippers have to win to save humanity, maybe that's the only reason.
Okay, listen. This is the only thing I could think of. If Clippers are facing the Celtics in the NBA Finals, let me tell you why I would rather have the Clippers win than the Celtics. I just don't want the Celtics to – we're trying to tie the Boston Celtics with 17 total NBA championships. That, to me, to have that number go up to 18 or something along those lines, like, that to me is important. I think a lot of Laker fans, part of the allure and having that opportunity to win a championship this year, it is for 50 reasons. One of those reasons is you tie the Boston Celtics for most championships, you know, in the history of the NBA at 17. That's the only scenario I could see myself saying, okay – I'd be okay with the Clippers getting there first as long as the Boston Celtics aren't passing the Lakers or if the Lakers are tied with them or Lakers are one behind them. That's the only thing that I could think of.
No, you don't do that even. You just abstain. You just go neutral or you just start watching Dodger games. If it had to be the Clippers and Celtics in the finals, just don't watch it. Just I love act it. Like it doesn't even exist.
I love it. That's great. All right, let's do this. Have you heard some of these different scenarios out there? So, you know, the NBA season, hopefully we have a 2020 playoffs and hopefully we have a 2020 championship or a 2020 champion. And you've heard a lot of scenarios play out where, depending on how long this season goes, they're going to have to postpone, obviously, the 2020-21 season. You hear a lot of people talking about how Christmas – should be the day that the NBA schedule starts. And I'm not talking about just this year, this upcoming season. They're saying in general, they want, there's a lot of, Jalen Rose was saying it a little bit earlier today on Get Up, just in general, talking about how they would love to see that the NBA season starts on Christmas and rather ending in mid-June, it ends in mid-August. What do you think of that scenario? Is that something you'd like to see? The only sport that you're really competing with is, you know, obviously going to be baseball in those summer months. Would you rather see that schedule get pushed out 2 months, or do you like the way the schedule is right now?
Like it is right now. People are overthinking this too much. Start in late October and end in the middle of June. It's been working that way since the dinosaurs have been around, and there's no reason to change. Summertime is for baseball. People are more outdoors. People are going on vacations this summer. So, no, June is the perfect time for the season to end. I don't know who's coming up with these crazy cockamamie ideas.
You know, FT, I will say this. The only thing I feel like Adam Silver is, you know, one of those types of commissioners where he's willing to try different things. And by the way, this might be his year to try something new, simply because this is a, you know, we're in a completely different scenario than we've ever been. So if he wants to try this come Christmas, he's going to get his chance this year. But if you think TV ratings would go down because, like you're mentioning, you think a lot more people would be out and about, like you said, vacations, going down to the beach, going out for walks because it is the summer. You think that would hurt TV ratings in the NBA?
No question about it. Summertime is for being outdoors, going on trips with families and friends, and for being active and not sitting in front of the TV when the weather's so good outside, not only here in L.A., but all around the country. Up north, people have been hibernating all winter and closed in all winter. So when the weather turns good, man, in the summer, they want to be out on picnics. They want to be out playing golf, playing softball. They don't want to be sitting in front of no TV at 6 p.m. or, you know, or 9 p.m. They want to be out and going out to eat a dinner and stuff like that. So that's what you got to do, man. The league is fine just the way it is.
All right, so MT is not for moving the schedule. Yeah, you're staying firm on this one.
Yeah, no question about it. Leave it as it is. The league is fine.
MT, just to switch gears, Michael Thompson, by the way, hopping on the Sliwa show. I want to switch gears here for a quick second. I got one more on the Lakers front, really just the NBA front in general. What do you think happens if, you know, we know that the Olympics are being postponed to 2021, and before I get into the actual Olympics, what do you think happens with Team USA? What I'm referring to there is this season will get obviously pushed back. Next season will get pushed back just because the scenario that we're in, they're going to try and get 82 games next season, or they'll make sure to do it. What do you think happens with Team USA? I mean, there's talks about the Olympics potentially being in spring next year rather than the summer. What do you think happens to Team USA? You think it becomes, you know, the LeBrons of the world and the Steph Currys and the James Hardens and Klay Thompsons? You could kind of go down the list, Kevin Durant, all these great players probably don't get an opportunity to play next year in the Olympics.
Well, I think it's going to stay for the summer. It's going to be postponed a year from now or a year from the 2020 date. There's nothing wrong with doing that. All the venues are up. So just delay things till next year. And I think the NBA season will end in the middle of June. That would give the guys, whoever wants to be on an Olympic team, a month to rest. You got to remember, too, Team USA, you're LeBron and the veterans who are going to want to play in the Olympics. Steph, you all know who the stars are, Damian Lillard. It's not like you got to play 40 minutes a game. They play 20 minutes a game because they're going to blow everybody out because they're so much better than every other country that you don't even play half the game. So they'll be fine. So they work out in the summer anyway. They usually take a couple of weeks off after the playoffs. A lot of these guys will be out in May anyway or late May. So they're going to have 2 months of rest. So Team USA will be just fine if it's next July in Tokyo.
But, MT, how's that going to happen? I mean, don't you think – doesn't next season have to be delayed now? I mean, you don't think they're going to start, and I know there's still so many questions left, so, I mean, to kind of put up these hypotheticals might mean nothing in a month from now or 60 days, whatever the case is, but if, let's just say, the NBA season got started again, and it's June 1st, and playoffs end mid-August or whatever the case is, you have to imagine next season's not going to start on schedule. That's what I'm referring to, is if the NBA games are still going on next year when the Olympics are taking place, that's what I'm referring to, is that potentially some of these NBA players won't be able to be a part of it.
No, I think the NBA can still start on time because you're talking about maybe four teams playing into August. You got to remember the other 28 teams of the 26 teams are at home resting. So it'll be fine. And if some guys don't want to go to the Olympics because they played a little bit longer, a couple of extra months. I don't think that's going to happen. Like I said, these guys are in phenomenal shape, and when they do play for Team USA, they after a couple of months off this summer, I think they'll be in good shape. And a lot of these guys know this is their last chance for a gold medal, too. So they'll definitely be happy to be on that team if they're invited to be there.
All right. We're going to switch gears for a quick second here. So I know you're I know you love your football.
Yep.
I know specifically you like, you know, specific athletes in the league as well. And this is a question that I have for you. So the Chargers are going to be a part of, obviously, two franchises in this brand new, unbelievable stadium that they're still building right now, SoFi Stadium, in Inglewood. And there isn't much of a fan base for them, MT. I mean, let's be honest with each other. The truth is there's a lot of Rams fans here, Raider fans here, and then there's a lot of transplants in L.A. They don't have fans that are coming up from San Diego, and I don't think they have fans here in L.A. If you think they went out and got Cam Newton, the 2015 MVP, and I know he's been dealing with injuries, but if they went out and got that type of a star, an athlete that's known, somebody that can sell some tickets, sell some jerseys, what do you think of that? Because Cam is obviously not on the team right now, and it's not like the Chargers have Tom Brady as their quarterback.
Yeah, they definitely need to go get Cam. It's a no-brainer. It makes the most sense. They're a team that's close to making the playoffs. He's only 30, 31 years of age. He's got a lot to prove that he's not done. He'll bring some excitement to a fan base, to a market that really has none, because the Rams dominate the news here, and at least bringing in a big star like Cam, who still has that huge personality and I think has some good football left in him. That's exactly what the Chargers need. Tyrod Taylor, I mean, he's a decent backup, but he's not really firing anybody up and getting anybody excited to go to Charger games. I think Cam Newton could do that for him.
Yeah, listen, I think there's some cachet with Cam. You know, I'm not saying he's going to come out and he's going to turn around this franchise, which, by the way, they were 12-4 in 2018. I know last season 5-11 and lost a lot of close games, but what else do you have to sell at if you're the Chargers? I understand the stadium's going to sell itself, but what it's going to be selling is the opposing team. You know what I mean? It's going to be filled with Bronco fans. It's going to be filled with Chiefs fans, Raider fans. Obviously, the teams in their conference, in their division. And that probably won't change even if they have Cam Newton. But you might kind of turn some heads in L.A. if you bring somebody like Cam Newton. I just think, and I'm with you on this one, Damian Woody and Stephen A. Smith were saying the same thing on First Take today. And there's a part of this that it's just kind of from a marketing perspective, it's got to help if they get Cam Newton.
Yeah, it definitely will. I think he's got a good 4 or 5 years left in him. You know, he could be a reclamation project. The way that Randall Cunningham came in for the Vikings way back there in the 90s and sort of regenerated and revitalized his career. I think Cam needs a change of scenery, coming to a big market like L.A., playing for a good coach like Anthony Lynn. I think it revitalized his career.
MT, great stuff, my friend. Any good movies? What? Any good documentaries? Anything you could recommend to listeners?
Documentaries, I mean, yeah, I've been watching everything, catching up on my Lifetime movies, catching up on my science and National Geographic TV programs. Mm-hmm. So I'm finding plenty of ways to entertain myself without sports, but I sure do miss my games.
All right, MT, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for hopping on. We'll talk soon, okay?
Okay, you bet.
All right, he's the best in the business. Love MT. Always great having him on. Just good to catch up with him. I mean, you know, obviously we were on a streak there where just doing a lot of shows with MT, doing the pregame show, interacting with him a lot, and then everything just stopped. So it's good to catch up with MT. I'll try and make sure I got him on at least on a weekly basis, because I know a lot of Laker fans appreciate MT as well. All right, we come back. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. I haven't gone running in a while. Went for a jog. That was interesting. Let's talk about that when we come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, don't forget, starting tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. They'll get you going until 10 a.m., all local talk. Sedano following from 10 to noon. Will Kane Show, Mason and Ireland. And then I'll hop on at 6 o'clock to do some crosstalk. And then the Sliwa Show after that. Show kind of flew here. Not going to lie. Russell Baxter, Pro Football Guru, hopped on. He was great. Michael Thompson was great. You know, it's funny because the way I started the show, and I've been kind of theming this question throughout, would you support the Clippers if the Lakers were out? I, you know, when I heard it this morning, Keyshawn on the morning show was making a case that rooting for LA is really all that matters at the end of the day. And Keyshawn, listen, he's born and raised in LA. He's as LA as it gets. I get his case. I know Laker fans. And to hear Michael Thompson when he started going off, it's funny to me. And I understand where Keyshawn's coming from, but Laker fans are a different breed. You know, like Laker fans are, they don't care what team you are. They don't care East Coast, West Coast, whatever the case is. But the Clippers, there's a connection right now. There's a rivalry without even playing each other in the playoffs. There's kind of a hatred towards another team because it's probably going to be you or the other team that comes out of the Western Conference if and when we get a season going. So when I proposed that question up to Laker fans, of course I wasn't surprised that a lot of those Laker fans had a similar sentiment that I had, which was, nah, we're good. If the Clippers lose, we're more than okay with that. The only scenario, I'll say this again, I like how MT was trying to say, I just wouldn't even watch the game. Only scenario I'd ever root for the Clippers is if you're playing the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals, and we got to obviously got this race going with the Boston. They got 17 chips, we got 60. Got to get to 17 at some point. That's the only time I root for the Clippers. You know, it is going to be interesting, kind of everything going on here in LA and this Lakers and the Clippers thing. This you can't call it a rivalry because they literally have never faced each other in the playoffs. But these two franchises, they'll continue to collide with each other. And Bomber's making big time moves. You know, I think what Bomber's doing yesterday, making that announcement that he bought the Forum. It's only going to get, I think, bigger and bigger between the Lakers and the Clippers. It's just not there yet. A little bit earlier, too, I talked about Jalen Rose proposing that why can't the NBA start during Christmas? Why shouldn't the NBA season start on Christmas? Let that be the season moving forward. It's growing on me a little bit. The NBA might actually be in a position or an opportunity at some point to have this as a reality. And what I mean by that is they might get that opportunity for next season just because of the circumstances that have played out and all the cancellations that have gone on in sports. So we'll see what happens there. But it is, I'll tell you this, we just have a season. That's all anybody I think cares about at this point. And I obviously would be good with that. So this morning, first of all, quick shout out. This morning I went to St. Francis Center, which is a homeless center in downtown. I do some volunteer work there. And just a quick shout out to them because I haven't been there in a couple weeks. Honestly, with all the stuff with COVID-19, I kind of just didn't know how all that stuff kind of pans out. But I will say this. There are probably incredible opportunities, maybe in this time right now, simply because a lot of people are at home. There's a lot of volunteering opportunities all around LA. So something to keep in mind. And they're all going through every measure that you could possibly think of as far as, you know, keeping the social distancing and everything else. So a quick shout out to St. Francis out in Los Angeles. When I finished with that, I decided that I was going to go out for a run. So I haven't been out on a run in a while. The thing I like doing cardio-wise, I like playing basketball, right? Basketball is my sport. I enjoy playing, and I try to play, you know, a couple days a week, whatever the case is. Or you guys have heard me talk about, I do the elliptical. It's probably the laziest way to burn calories. I'm all, sign me up. Right? How can I burn 400 calories without moving my body and breaking a sweat? Sign me up for that one. Where do I sign? So today I was like, all right, Alan, why don't you actually go and do a real workout? You know, like what real people who are in shape do. Why don't you go for a jog? So I went for a jog. I think people can relate when I tell this story. You ever go out for a jog? It's been a while, right? And the first maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes, you're feeling good. And you're kind of telling yourself, like, how great is this? Wait a minute. Why don't I do this more often? I'm gonna come outside. Every day I'm going to go out and do 4 or 5 miles, something along those lines. Yep, that's what I'm going to do. This is the first 5 minutes. Then you start getting to, like, minute six. All of a sudden you're telling yourself, hey, you know, I'm kind of breathing a little hard right now. This is a little bit more difficult than I thought. Minute seven comes up. Now it's kind of just a little bit of an uphill. Should I start walking? Should I go back to the car? By minute 10,
I'm thinking in my head, we got to abort mission here. This isn't healthy. Whoever said you should come up with running, they got to erase that out of the equation. I remember one time I went and got my knee checked by Dr. Clapper. And we all know Dr. Clapper, host of the Weekend Warrior Show every Saturday from 7 to 9 a.m. Dr. Clapper said, the best thing you could do for your body is swimming. I think he said elliptical, but he might have said bike.
Yes, right? He like always says elliptical.
Things that are non-impact to the knees, right? Like that's the thing. So by the time I'm on minute 8, minute 9, I'm like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I should do what Dr. Clapper says. Jess, Curtis, can you guys relate to me on this? Do you ever like start a jog or start doing something where you're thinking in your head, oh, I feel good. And then 5-6 minutes later or 5-6 minutes into it, you're kind of backpedaling now. You're saying to yourself, maybe this wasn't the best idea.
Every time I work out. Every time I work out. I'm like, all right, this feels good. I'm good. You know, you're doing your workout, whatever it is. And then after a little bit, just like, you know what? It's like, how long are we working out?
Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this?
I got how long more? 28 more minutes? Oh, man, I don't.
Here's the thing. I will say the one thing that comes with it. Like you got to – I feel like the body is set up to where you got to get like past a certain obstacle.
Definitely.
Running is that like perfect thing, right? Like running the first 10 minutes I feel like is always the hardest. And then you can probably go 10, 15, 20 more minutes after that. And I feel like that's easier than the first 10 minutes. Man, my heart was everywhere today. My lungs, they're like – they didn't know what was going on.
Oh, yeah. That's the case every time for me when it comes to running especially, because I'm definitely not a fan of running. I'll much more rather find something static to do. Like I like doing resistance bands. That's probably been my favorite. And I'll do the elliptical and treadmill. But, you know, running like outside and all that, yeah. No.
Real quick on this one. I saw 28 Days Later. That's a crazy movie.
I love that movie.
Self-Made on Netflix. I think I mentioned it yesterday, Octavia Spencer and Tiffany Haddish, but you just turned me on to Tiger King. I'm going to do Tiger King.
Yeah, that's like the new big Netflix documentary that's out right now that has Twitter talking a lot. So, you know, I think we're both intrigued by it. I think we might have to check it out coming up here soon. But I mean, all I can hear is just the music. I'm kind of very distracted by now.
Yeah, just a second, Jess. Let this play out for a little bit. What do we got here? Curtis, what's going on back there?
Curtis is singing.
This is what you wanted. Mm. You asked for this.
Tell him, Whitney.
Oh, here he comes.
Whitney. No, that's right. A little setup.
Take us out, Whitney.
That was a little setup right there. All right, that's Whitney Houston right there. This is the Sliwa Show right here. Jesse, appreciate it. Curtis, thank you. LA, have a great rest of your night. Let's end this with a little Whitney Houston.
Sing it, Whitney!